Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 401. This is an oldie but a goodie with a new title and a new focus. Have a great day.
I wanted to talk about something which comes up in this week's parsha, and that relates to professions, specifically Jewish professions. There's a joke about a Jewish grandmother proudly showing off some of her pictures of her grandchildren, and the person she's showing them to says, "How old are they?" And she says, "Well, the doctor is 2 years old and the lawyer is 6 months old." We sometimes identify certain professions with Judaism, with Jews. And the reality is that throughout our history, unfortunately, Jews were forced very often into certain professions. There were certain guilds or there were certain groups that would not allow Jews to enter, that as well as the fact that there are certain professions that other religions would not be able to do, like money lenders and things like that. Jews were forced into certain professions. And so generally, we weren't choosing professions, but professions were sort of chosen for us. What we have in this week's parasha is a very deliberate choice of a profession, which comes up not only here, but also throughout history in other careers of famous Jews. And so the pasuk tells us when Yosef brings his family back to Mitzrayim with him, so it says, "Va'amartem anshei mikna hayu." Yosef tells them to tell Paro when they meet with Paro, "We are anshei mikne, we are people of cattle. Hayu avadecha min hurenu, from our youth va'ad ata until now. Gam anachnu gam avosenu bavur teshu beretz Goshen." Not only we, but also our forefathers. Like, this is the Jewish business at the time. The goal in saying this to Paro seems to be bavur teshu Be'eretz Goshen, so that they will dwell in Eretz Goshen, which seems to be a land which is appropriate for shepherding, a land that's appropriate for people who are in the industry of cattle. But then the pasuk ends, "Ki so'avas Mitzrayim kol ro'e tzon," that it was an abomination for Mitzrayim, those who were shepherds. There's this idea that the sheep was considered to be a god figure. And so people who would herd sheep, that was problematic to the people. So they would have to dwell outside in this place called Goshen. Maybe there was good grass, maybe there was good pasture, but in any event, it would be appropriate for the Jews to be there. And so Yosef tells his brothers that when you go and meet with Paro, tell them that you're shepherds. Okay, so now this is ironic because we're not being guided towards our profession, but our profession, for once in history, is guiding our decision. We're saying we are shepherds, and therefore we need to live in Goshen, not that we are Jews, and therefore we have to be some sort of other profession. So the question is, what is this shepherding all about? What is the reason for the shepherding? And so Rabbeinu Bachya, of course, a 13th, 14th century scholar, explains that shepherding has a variety of reasons. The first thing he explains is, "Shiyesh ba revach gadol." There's a lot of profit in shepherding. You can make a lot of money. Begiza, they're the shearings of the wool. Ubechalav, and in the milk. Uvuvlados, and in the offspring. You can make a lot of money in the trade of sheep. And it's an easy profession. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take many years of graduate school. It's something which is not too overwhelming. And he says, well, also in addition, v'tareach gadol, there's not too much bother, umibli avon. And there's not a lot of possibility for sin and for cheating. It's a pretty good, easy, nice, innocent profession. That's his first explanation, which, of course, is wonderful. His second explanation, he says, "Lefisha hashvatim hayu yodim sheyuglu l'mitzrayim heim v'zaram," because the brothers knew that they were eventually going to stay long-term in Mitzrayim, their children after them, in their gullus, in their exile. And because, for whatever reason, the Egyptians worshipped the sheep character, so what do they say? "Tafsu lahem umnas zu," let's grab onto this career, "kadesh yuzaram murgalimba," so that their children would be seen as strange and different, right? The goal was, if everybody here is all into the sheep and worships the sheep, for us to see the sheep as, like, I don't know, it's just a dumb sheep, and we push it around, and we corral it, and we do whatever we do to sheep. That can't be a deity. That can't be something which is divine. And so, if they're going to be coming to Mitzrayim, where the sheep is taken so seriously, it has to be clear to the children, to the Bnei Yisrael, to this burgeoning family, that these sheep are not significant, they're not important. The best way to teach that point was through shepherding, so that they would be familiar with them, and there would be nothing glorious or glamorous to sheep. And so this idea, of course, we know is again and again. We have David was a shepherd, Shaul was a shepherd, Moshe was a shepherd, Hevel was a shepherd earlier in Bereishis. We have a lot of biblical characters for any one of these reasons. Maybe because it's lucrative, maybe because it's a nice and easy career, But also in Mitzrayim, there's the more specific element of the fact that because they worshipped the sheep, it was there to create this distance between them and the Egyptians. But that answer doesn't really hold because all of these other people throughout Jewish history also were involved in sheep. So there's another explanation that Rabbeinu Bachya gives. He says, Rechilus v'loshan hara u'shva sheka u'gili arayos v'gezel v'chamas. Translated, that means there's bearing tales, and there's gossiping, and there's lying falsely, and there's sexual immorality, and there's theft, and there's chamas, extortion. All of these are involved in a lot of careers, right? He doesn't list which ones. V'chol ma sheha'adam parish mecheveres habrios. He says, when we're very busy with others and schmoozing and discussing, talking at the water cooler about this person and that person and what's going on, it can theoretically invite a lot of trouble. So therefore, v'chol ma shehu misrachek min hayishuv, the idea of being separate and being alone, you know, alone without any people around, while that might sound a little bit depressing, so Rabbeinu Bachya suggests that maybe that's another advantage of shepherding. Because of that alone time, you have the opportunity to avoid a lot of the sins that we get involved with, a lot of the trouble that people get into when they deal with people. Okay, I can't necessarily recommend that, but it's a difficult thing. Now we have a very interconnected workplace. Now, you know, we can work separate and together at the same time, even if we're home. But the idea that Rabbeinu Bachya is presenting is when we're with a lot of people, we have the likelihood of getting into more trouble than we would if we're alone. That's what he says in his third explanation. So first, it's lucrative and it's easy. Second, he says, because it was setting the Jews in Egypt up to understand that the sheep itself is not a deity. And third, the notion of shepherding keeps you very separate. It keeps you away from people. And when I'm with people, I'm liable to get into more trouble. The last idea is the one I want to focus on a little bit, because I think that's so pertinent to our hectic and crazy lives that we lead. Ve'od shesham makom hispodedus l'nevuah. He says that particularly with these great people throughout Jewish history, when I'm alone, not only am I not around people, but I have a time to focus internally. Ve'ein adam ro'a sham davar sheyatshed machshav to mina machshava b'hashem yisparach. I'm allowed and I'm able to focus my mind and to think about important things. When do we have the opportunity to stop, to press pause, and to consider for a moment what we do every other moment of the day? We don't really have those times. We don't have that little solitude that we could use to be mindful and purposeful about how we live our lives, particularly with the buzzes and the beeps that are constantly surrounding us. We don't have any of that. You know, we have this trouble nowadays with being bored, where we constantly have to flip and flick and do things. We constantly have to go and look at our phones and see what's next and what did we miss and what happened. There's FOMO, the fear of missing out. There's an incredible story in some airport. I don't remember which, and if anybody remembers the details of this and they heard it on the news a few years back, please let me know. But there was an airport that did a great job making the time that it took to get off of your plane to get to your luggage. They did a great job in lessening the amount of time that that took. And so people, instead of it taking 10 minutes to get from their plane to the luggage, it would now take 5 minutes. The problem is they weren't able to speed up the luggage. And so what happened was is that it would still take the luggage 10 minutes, but now it would take people 5 minutes. So people would be watching the carousels and they'd be going around and around and around and nothing was doing, and people could not bear just standing there. Now remember, they're walking for 5 less minutes. Life has just become easier. But because they were alone with themselves and they were just simply bored, they got so many complaints that the airport had to go and redesign things so that the walk would take 10 minutes again, so they would not be bored and they would be busy with something. There's a word for it called thasophobia, you know, the fear of being bored. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this when he talks about tefillah. He says, "V'ikar mitzvos tefillah she'echavin esliba b'shat tefillah." A person has to focus and concentrate their mind during tefillah. V'yitaher machshav to mikol asakav. And somehow we have to get everything else out of our mind. That's the foundation and that's the starting point for all of tefillah. You might call that boredom, but we need that ability to be bored and to be able to know what it's like to have our minds clear, to be able to then choose what's next and what we're going to focus on. The Gemara says that when the Torah was given, you imagine like this big rash and this big noise, but in the moments before, Rabbi Avo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kishanasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaTorah tzipor lo tzavach, of lo parach, shar lo ga, ofanam lo afu." No bird tweeted and by tweeting, they meant, you know, the old kind of tweeting where it made noise. Then oflo parach, no, a bird flew, an ox didn't make whatever noise oxes make. Ofanim lo ofel, even the angels didn't move. Serafim lo amru kadosh kadosh, the angels weren't even praying. Hayam lo nizdazea, the waves of the ocean flattened. Habrios lo dibru, nobody in the world spoke. Ela ha'olam shosek umachrish v'yotza hakol, anochi Hashem alokecha. The entire world was absolutely silent. And that's the setting for the Torah to be given, in absolute nothingness, boredom, because we need that ability to be able to turn everything off, to be able to focus on the right things, to be able to focus on the things within. That's why we're shepherds. Have a great day.